My name is Melise Tusseret with American Friends of Bucerius, and I'm sitting here with Kemal Kirishci, TÜSİAD Senior Fellow and Director of the Turkey Program at Brookings Institution. Mr. Kirishci is with us in New York today because he will be speaking at the Transatlantic Global Agenda, a program that we hold with our partners American Council on Germany and with the support of Alston and Byrd. I'd like to jump right in and talk about the latest developments with Turkey and Russia. On November 24th, Turkey shot down a Russian airplane that had been flying over the Turkish-Syrian border. And since then, in the last 2 weeks, we've seen an escalation with Russia imposing economic sanctions on Turkey, the involvement of NATO and later the UN Security Council, and now, most recently, a speech from the Turkish Prime Minister Davutoğlu, in which he said, and I quote, "If we find it necessary, we will introduce retaliatory sanctions. But we hope that the crisis with Russia will be overcome and there will be no need to resort to these measures." As an expert on Turkey, what do you think we can expect going forward on this? And do you think that there's an opportunity for reconciliation between the two countries? Or does it seem more likely that Turkey will in fact impose these sanctions on Russia?
My angle on this is that I don't think Turkey is very keen to reciprocate Russian sanctions with its own sanctions because unlike the Russian economy, the Turkish economy depends a lot on trade and business with the world and particularly the world around itself. And the world around itself is in a very chaotic state. And the markets for Turkish goods and services in its neighborhood is really collapsing. And Russia happens to be a relatively important market for Turkey. My expectation is that the Turkish side is going to try as best as it can to rebuild this relationship, barring domestic political pressures that may come on the government. Personally, I'm not very hopeful about the coming months. I think the best achievement would be if the crisis could be maintained at the level it is right now.
There was a meeting with the UN Security Council behind closed doors that Russia had requested about Turkey's involvement in Syria and in Iraq, I believe. Has there been any outcome from this?
Not that I know of, but the origins of the conflict, the current crisis, clearly lies in the two diametrically opposing policies that Turkey and Russia have and are pursuing in Syria. Russia, as we know, has been the principal supporter and backer of the Assad regime in Syria, and you could argue that Turkey has been the principal supporter of the opposition against the Assad regime. I don't see these two positions being reconciled. Although I do recognize that in the course of the last couple of weeks, months, the Western position led by the United States and the Russian position seemed to be converging over the idea of a political solution to the crisis, the chaos and the civil war and the destruction in Syria. And the American Secretary of State, John Kerry, had been investing a lot into this effort known as the Vienna process. And some feel that the downing of the Russian jet has undermined that process.
That's right. And it would seem that America is almost facing a conflict of interest now because of both the Vienna process, but also their other relations with Russia and their relations with Turkey, and of course, Turkey's call for NATO action in this regard. What do you see the path forward, or what do we expect to come out of John Kerry and the U.S. government in regards to this issue?
I think there is an exceptionally messy and complicated situation around the Syrian crisis. And part of that messiness and complication is a result of the failure to develop a unified transatlantic position on Syria. For a long time, Turkey had been calling for an intervention against Assad and had been arguing that at the heart of the problems in Syria, including the emergence and the challenge created by ISIS, the Islamic State, lies the Assad regime. However, the West, led by the United States, remained very reluctant to act against the Assad regime and to take the initiative to become involved, engaged in efforts to resolve the situation in Syria until an increasing number of Syrian refugees began to make their way into Europe, the European Union, precipitating a crisis as serious as the Euro crisis, if not more, in terms of the functioning of the European Union as well as its future.
And what role, and you mentioned the Syrian refugees, and we're seeing that develop also very rapidly. The EU recently promised €3 billion to Turkey to develop a program and an initiative to manage this flow. I believe the recent UN estimates from March were saying that about 1.7 million refugees in Turkey, they're expecting it actually to be higher with undocumented people transiting through. What role is this you know, development going to play now on the Syria, the refugee situation?
You know, this is a topic that we've been working on at Brookings quite intensely, and this is also the topic that I'll be talking about at the panel you made references to. I don't want to overwhelm people with figures, but currently there are 4.3 million Syrian refugees. And on top of it, there is an estimated around 7.5 million Syrians internally displaced. In a sense, they are refugees within their own country. And the two together adds up to half the population of Syria before this crisis erupted.
If we're looking at rates then, I mean, if we went from 1.7 in March to 2.2 now, I mean, that's 500,000 people in the period of a little over 6 months.
And if the situation in Syria is further aggravated with Russian intervention and Russian attacks on not just the Islamic State, but all of the other opposition groups, there is a likelihood that these figures can increase significantly. Mm. And that the presence of refugees are straining the resources, but also the patience of the public in these countries. And furthermore, if you look at it from the refugees' point of view, life is increasingly becoming very unpredictable and miserable as well. Miserable in the sense that these refugees do not have access to livelihood, meaning they cannot legally earn their living. And instead, they have to resort to illegal employment and also, to use a technical terminology, negative coping mechanisms, which means children working, getting brutally exploited, girls getting married, not to mention, unfortunately, cases of prostitution as well. And a good proportion of the children are not receiving education. So there is talk of a lost generation, which is very scary in itself, from many perspectives, including national security. And these countries, especially led by Turkey, had been trying very hard to attract international attention to this situation, to mobilize more funds. The UN had been doing, I would argue, a marvelous effort to try to bring that attention to Syria. However, sadly, not much happened beyond some modest contribution to humanitarian assistance until the European refugee crisis erupted. And one manifestation of that is this deal that was struck between Turkey and the European Union, where the European Union has committed itself to providing 3 billion euros that would be used towards improving the lot of the refugees in Turkey. What is more important, if it works, the cooperation between the EU and Turkey on this issue could open up greater space to improve the lot of refugees and build trust between Turkey and the European Union.
But it feels a little bit, I mean, this is a very positive development. I think the attention of the refugees and the understanding of the difficult situation both the refugees and hosting countries like Turkey are facing is important. But in light of the attacks in Paris and recently in California and San Bernardino, we're also seeing in Europe and the United States an atmosphere, a little bit of fear, of backlash. We're hearing, you know, U.S. governors and heads of European states saying that they don't want to accept refugees, and now some of the states don't want to pay. In Europe, some of the European Union states don't want to pay their portion of the 3 billion euros. How can we, you know, how can we come to a place in that conversation, in that dialogue, where we're separating the extremists and the fundamentalists who we should be concerned about and looking out for from the refugees who are looking for a safe life and who are looking for, you know, opportunities and who want to integrate their families into their new communities?
Earlier on, I mentioned that the refugee crisis is straining the European Union possibly more than the financial and euro crisis did. And the reason for this is that, unlike the euro crisis, this crisis is actually testing and straining the very values, the very values, political and liberal values, humanist values, on which the European Union project is based. And this is a challenge. In the European Union right now, there is almost a million Syrian and other refugees from the region or irregular migrants that have come. And there is the challenge of managing that reality out there, and on the top of it, helping Jordan, Lebanon, and Turkey to manage the presence of 4.2 million refugees, recognizing that if they don't help, then there is a good likelihood that some of these people inevitably are going to try to make it to the European Union. Then the choice is going to be extremely difficult. Is the European Union going to overlook its own values and begin to act, I hate to make this parallel, but begin to act along the lines that Europe had behaved during the run-up to the Second World War in the case of Jewish refugees? So it's very testing times, and this is why earlier on I said that the agreement between the European Union and Turkey is not important just because of the refugees themselves, but also because it provides an opportunity for two sides to rebuild mutual trust and begin to together address these very difficult issues. Very difficult issues.
Yes, it's definitely a complicated situation with no easy answers. So I guess we'll keep tracking the situation, see what happens. Thank you very much for your inputs today and for participating, and we look forward to a good luncheon with you.